We have Maya Amos and Darnell Peek with us today from the Pittsburgh Youth Action Summit, the Pittsburgh Youth Climate Action Summit. I'm really happy you're both here. Darnell, what got you involved in this?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I really like the environment. I've always loved gardening. So when the opportunity came around to do an environmental summit, I was like, why not? You know, never done it before. Might as well.
Well, that's great. And you're at an environmental charter school?
Yes, sir.
Have you been there pretty much for all of your education?
Yep. I started in sixth grade. So.
And what community do you live in?
I'm from Lincoln.
Excellent. You didn't go to Pittsburgh Lincoln by any chance, did you?
No, sir.
We used to visit that school on a regular basis. Now, Maya, what got you interested?
Well, I've been a member of PICA for the past 3 years, and after attending the summit last year, it was so much fun. I knew I wanted to be part of, you know, the leadership team for this, so...
And what school do you go to?
I go to Taylor Alderdice.
And you live where?
I live in Squirrel Hill.
Well, it's nice to have you both here. So the summit is open to all high school students, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So how can people get involved, first of all? If you are a teacher listening now and maybe have a class of students, or if you're a teen, is there still room to get engaged and to take part in what's happening?
Yeah, you can join the summit. You can register on our website, Communitopia. We also have an Instagram page where there is a link to register to the summit.
Excellent. So there's no need to feel like you're too late. You can still take part. And again, it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on March 21st at Museum Lab, which is the building adjacent to ours on the north side, right next door to the Children's Museum. And it's easy to make it since it's a Saturday. I'm hoping we might be there to enjoy some of it. What happens at that event?
Oh, so yeah. 10 a.m., we have breakfast. And then about 10:30, we get into a keynote speaker from our guy, Moses Tuma. And then after the keynote, we do a couple introductions from the summiteers, the ones who put it together. And then we'll go into some of our workshops, and then you have lunch, and then we go back into our workshops for our last round, and then after that, it is a clothing swap. Yeah, we have a clothing swap, and then we have an art competition that people can register for and can participate in. We have prizes, different things like that.
So people will be making art that particular day?
Yeah. No, we have, the art competition has been open for, I think, about a month now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We have a whole submissions page. And
what are the workshops? Certainly, we don't have to go through each and every one unless you want to, but I'm curious what those are and how they were determined what they should be.
Well, we have five summiteers who are organizing the summit, and each one of them picked something that they're passionate about. Something that they'd like to talk to fellow kids about and, you know, educate people on. I'm doing immigration and climate change. Darnell, you're doing propaganda?
Yeah. I'm doing propaganda, and then we have someone on sustainable business. So it's a wide variety of different stuff that people may be able to participate in.
Well, let's talk about those topics. And Darnell, why don't we start with yours, propaganda. What prompted you to choose that topic, and how will you approach it?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I've always been in, like, as long as I've been able to, you know, do my own research. I've been into, like, what's going on in the government, politics, and, like, you know, what the true narrative is. And I feel like right now the true narrative isn't being shown. So it's prompted me to say, hey, you know, here's how you spot that. Here's how you go find the true narrative.
I know you've got a whole workshop on this topic, but are there some basic tips for making sure that you're getting the truth?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, most people, they'll find it on social media. Most basic tip I can say is do your own research, right? Look up the topic that you find if you really want to know if it's true or not. Find a couple of sources, see what they're saying, and then you can make your own opinion from there.
That's good advice. What was your other workshop topic?
We have one on immigration.
And the other one you're leading?
Immigration, and it's not me.
Oh.
It's my girl Anwita. She's leading the sustainable business one.
Can you tell me a bit about that? Do you know the topic area?
A little bit. She might be a little bit more well-versed on it. But it's kind of like you have a bit of, and help me out if I'm, but you have businesses that aren't exactly doing the right sustainable practices. She's like, hey, here's how we can combat that. And she gives you all that within her workshop.
Mm-hmm. She's especially focusing on sustainable fashion, I believe, which is why we're having the clothing swap.
That's an area that is a sore spot, I guess I'll put, for me. Mm-hmm. So much fashion is designed for disposability. The nature of the way consumers are preyed upon, and sometimes how poorly made things are, they just wear out. And I think that happens for women more often than men. Do you think that's true, Maya?
I 100% agree with you. I think a lot of the times the idea of femininity changes alongside the trend. And a lot of that has to do with fashion, what women are wearing, what people are wearing. And so the quicker that trends go by, and they're trends go by quicker and quicker nowadays, the quicker you have to change your clothes, your wardrobe.
So do you think that at this Pittsburgh Youth Climate Action Summit, you could either go to the manufacturers and tell them to change their practices, or as a consumer, you could just say that you're not going to play along anymore. Are you going to approach it both ways, or will you be giving emphasis to one over the other?
I think that would be a question for Anwita, who's not here with us. But probably, I believe she will be doing both.
Yeah, it's interesting to just say, I'm not going to buy into it, literally. I'm not going to buy into it. Have either of you kind of adopted that practice at all? It's hard with peer pressure or just styles changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm not one to keep up with the trends and all the styles, so I sort of just like say, hey, I like the clothes. They fit well. You know, I'm not one to buy 50 million pounds of clothes and never wear them. You know, the stuff I wear for a long time, so.
You and me both. That's the way I look at it. What about for you, Maya?
I mean, I buy like 99% of my clothes secondhand. I think it's a great way to you know, still purchase clothes that you like and do it sustainably.
I'm glad you mentioned that because secondhand clothing is really popular now, and there's a lot of high quality stuff that you can find that's quite inexpensive.
Yeah.
Now, what are your workshops? You mentioned immigration is one of them. Tell me how you plan to approach that. And I'm curious how that ties in from your perspective to the environment and climate action.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I chose to do it is also the way that I approach it. Recently, we've had a lot of, you know, terrible things happening in the country regarding immigration. And with the mistreatment of immigrants and all the hate that's been happening, I think we need to understand that people leave their countries because they are not, you know, safe. They're not, there are better places to be. And climate change is destroying a lot of different places. There was a hurricane in Jamaica. There were floods in Pakistan. And they're all caused by global warming. And people cannot stay where they are because we have exploited countries and we've harmed the environment so much that many places in the world just aren't safe to be in anymore.
So part of it is when we allow manufacturing to occur in some countries, particularly poor countries or countries that are less developed with respect to environmental control, it ends up resulting in pollution and even exposure to the people get from working in those facilities. And that's something we forget, isn't it? That sometimes some U.S. companies do not follow their own U.S. standards. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're going to talk about it. Well, are there actions youth can take to try to prevent this behavior?
Well, I think a lot of it just ties into the fact that the reason why we live the lives that we live in the United States or in quote-unquote developed countries is because our lives, you know, our ability to purchase so many things and live in a clean environment, other countries made sacrifices for that. And the idea of the idea that we can just decide that we do not stand with this and we will not be over consuming things will help a lot of that problem.
Are there a lot of students from other countries at Alderdice?
Yeah.
And are they scared or concerned about what they now see?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be really hard to witness that. And I mean, I know you're able to be supportive, but I think some folks don't know how very real this is in a high school. In fact, Alderdice had a walkout, what, about 3 weeks ago, I think. And somebody, you know, posted something on Facebook and said, these kids don't even know what they're doing. It's just, they're just walking out to get a day out of class. And I can't always respond to social media, but boy, did that make me mad. I don't think there is a single student that would have been part of that that didn't know. Would you agree?
I agree. I heard somebody say that too. I heard a staff member said that we just don't know what we're doing. It made me furious. We're a very diverse group of students, but we are a community. And when you listen to some of these kids' stories, you know, it's impossible not to be compassionate. I mean, I just don't understand how somebody could, I don't understand how somebody could say something like that.
No, and even if you were of a different opinion, to say that students know nothing about the issue is crazy, mm-hmm. Because students experience it. I see, Darnell, you're nodding your head. Has that been a big issue at ECS as well, Environmental Charter School?
Yeah. All of my peers, they were very furious at ICE as well. We're actually planning a little walkout, and our staff isn't really, I don't know, our principal isn't really going for it. But, yeah, I mean, everyone's furious right now. I don't think it's the best time to be hounding the students saying they don't understand what's going on.
Well, in the one case, you want to show as an adult that you respect and care for students. Everybody's preaching critical thinking and let's not use AI, let's think for ourselves, and then you do it. And people are saying it's impossible that you are thinking for yourself. So that really, that makes me mad too. And I don't think you're alone at all, not just with your peers, but with adults too. You certainly, have full capacity to come up with opinions. You might be better informed than a lot of adults. So do you have another? Immigration is one of your workshops. Is there another one you mentioned?
We are each doing just one workshop.
And what are the other ones that we haven't talked about today?
Well, we have Avery is doing our policy pipeline, where she's teaching some participants how to come up with policies.
Very cool. So how do you actually propose a policy that is going to lead to the results that you hope to see, to the change that you hope to see in the world? That's great. And any others? Did we cover all five?
Amelia is doing AI and climate change.
Oh, that's a big one. Would one of you like to kind of give an overview of what that's going to mean or what it could potentially mean? A lot of people don't quite get it.
So, yeah. With the introduction of data centers now being more and more prevalent, Amelia is educating people on what that exactly means for us, how much water it would take, you know, what that's doing to our electricity, and why it's bad, you know, why we should either limit or completely bar the use of AI data centers.
Yeah, we're also focused on what is AI going to do to our brains, or the world of work, but there's also the environmental aspect of it. I see memes and other things generated by AI that are kind of frivolous, and it's like, gosh, I wish somebody could say, you know, what was the carbon impact of having done that, right? If there were some way of knowing. And those costs will end up being societal costs, I think, one way or another.
We're entering an era of water bankruptcy. We don't have the resources to keep, quote unquote, funding AI. We don't have enough water. I don't think our planet can take it.
Well, I'm really proud of you both for your leadership in this. Have either of you thought about what you want to do after graduating? Maya, you're closest. You're a senior this year. Do you know?
Well, I am thinking about studying psychology, but I really, really hope that I can do some research on the impact of, you know, knowing that our world is heading where it's at right now, what that is doing to us and how we react to it psychologically. I think that would be an interesting thing to pursue.
Absolutely. Do you have a school in mind? You don't have to. It's a little early. What about you, Darnell?
So I was going to go to Rosedale Tech Trade School for electrical work. And then after I get started in electrical work, it's probably going to go try to be a professional fighter up in Thailand, do some Muay Thai.
Wow. What a great, of all the years I've talked with people about plans, those are plans. Certainly what you're doing in the trades I've heard before, but not the fighting. So congratulations to you both. So the PICA, as you call it, Pittsburgh Youth Climate Action Summit, 6th annual, is March 21st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Museum Lab on the north side. I wish you both the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.